This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. One of the stories we've been covering at STLPR is issues plaguing the Children's Division of Missouri's Department of Social Services. We've previously talked about how child abuse investigators missed signs of adult fentanyl use and how that led to young children dying of accidental overdoses. St. Louis Public Radio politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum has been leading this ongoing coverage, and his latest story, out today, details how the Children's Division isn't using a tool aimed at removing children from a home where drug use is evident. The tool is called a Temporary Alternative Placement Agreement, or TAPA, and Jason is here to tell us about it. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How is it that a Temporary Alternative Placement Agreement works?
So a Temporary Alternative Placement Agreement is an agreement between the Children's Division and parent or parents of a child. And the agreement is that a child will stay somewhere else, usually a relative, while the parent or parents go to rehabilitation programs, usually for drugs. It was conceived as a way for dealing with kind of borderline cases of neglect primarily, as an alternative to putting the kid into foster care. And what we found through an open records request is this tool has been used very unevenly throughout the state. It's only been used 84 times in St. Louis and St. Louis County between August 2021 and April 2024, compared to almost 800 times in Southwest Missouri and 600 times in a Northeast Missouri region that includes St. Charles and Lincoln counties. And I think that this is another line of questioning, primarily from child welfare advocates and legislators, about whether the Children's Division is doing everything they can to deal with neglect cases.
Yeah. So to give us a sense of what St. Louis families are missing out on, introduce us, Jason, to a woman from Franklin County named Alicia Griffith. What is her story, and how is it that TAPA factored into it?
So first of all, I want to give a shout out to Prevent Ed, who are the group. They're an anti-drug and alcohol abuse agency based in St. Louis who connected me with Alicia. And her story, like, I almost brought me to tears. And I'm not a person that cries very often, but I almost did here. Mm-hmm. She had been dealing with substance use disorder for a while. She had her kids put into foster care 8 years ago, got them back after 4 years, but recently had a relapse. And instead of her kids going back into foster care, she agreed to enter into a TAPA, which not only provided her with a pathway to drug rehabilitation services, but also provided services for her kids, mainly like therapy. Mm-hmm. And she told me, like, flat out, it was like a lifeline for her. And being addicted to substances is not an easy thing. I think being able to talk to people who've actually gone through this program, I think is really clarifying about how important this can be to keeping families together and to making sure parents are able to deal with their addictions more thoroughly. But I think that also hammers home that not having it available in a part of the state with 1.3 million people, St. Mm-hmm. Louis and St. Louis County, is mm-hmm. is just unfortunate and problematic.
So in your reporting, the investigating, talking with people at different agencies, and I mean, what is it that accounts for that disparity between St. Louis and Kansas City and then other parts of the state?
It's a staffing issue. I got to talk with the department, our Children's Division director, Daryl Missy, about it. And he said that there weren't people available in St. Louis to track whether these TAPAs are actually being followed. He told me there needs to be something called a family-centered service case opened, and you need a family-centered service worker to monitor to make sure that, you know, somebody is actually following through on the agreement. Because if they're not, what's supposed to happen is that is sort of the trigger to put the kids into foster care. So that's a very reasonable explanation about why it wasn't happening. They didn't have the people. But for some people who are really invested in the child welfare space, it's not really an excuse that holds a lot of water, given that the agency has gotten a lot more money to deal with its staffing issues in recent years.
Mm-hmm. And someone in particular you spoke with, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who is a Republican from Arnold, is someone who is particularly fired up about this issue. And she says this is not about funding, and it's not a statutory issue either. What is her take exactly?
Her view is it's a leadership problem and it's an executive branch agency problem. And her point is that the legislature has tried to respond to problems within the foster care child welfare space by providing specific statutory framework for how to proceed. And they've also provided more money when asked.
Mm-hmm.
And we could get into the whole discussion about whether Children's Division workers make enough money, although that really wasn't the focus of this story. Her point is that when the legislature does all those things and the agency is still not doing what everybody agrees needs to happen, then it's obviously an execution problem. And who's responsible for executing that policy? The governor's office and the executive branch agencies like the Department of Social Services and the Children's Division.
Mm-hmm. So what is it that state leaders say as far as the solution goes?
I think that there is hope that since staffing has improved, particularly in St. Louis, they should be able to do TAPAs more frequently. I think another thing that we really touch on in the story is that there may need to be a specific law or a policy change within Children's Division that says, if you find evidence of fentanyl, you have to contact a juvenile officer right away to potentially start the process of removing a child from the home, or you need to start the process of a TAPA or something like that. I mean, the devil's always in the details on those types of things, but I think that there probably needs to be some specific verbiage to make sure that if you find evidence of dangerous drugs, it's dealt with pretty efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you've been covering these issues plaguing Missouri's Children's Division for some time. In 1 minute, 30 seconds, why is it that you want to cover this?
Because I know that I have a large platform as a political reporter, and I feel that if I'm going to use this platform for anything, it's hopefully to bring more awareness about what needs to be done to help vulnerable kids that may be abused or neglected. It's not a fun topic. I often say it's a hamster wheel of trauma, but I'm happy to be leading the way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. Jason Rosenbaum is STLPR's politics correspondent.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.